Live from Crestview Studios, Florida, it's the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. And now here's your co-host, Speak Free Radio owner David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke. Limber up your dialing fingers.
Hey folks, this is Dave Gahari, and you're listening to the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on speakfreeradio.com. It's, I think, about 2 minutes after six. My voice is a little shot. I don't know why. I was on with Mark Collette and his gang earlier today, but I don't think it was that. I talked a little, not much. Whenever I go on these shows, I like to let the the other folks speak as much as they want. But my voice is a little beat up, so excuse it. It'll be back to normal next week, hopefully. And you're listening to, as I said, the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on speakfreeradio.com. When you go to speakfreeradio.com, just click on that black triangle, and you can hear the show from your computer. If you're on your phone, just click on that phone icon. And it looks a little different, but it's the same process. If you want to call into the show to ask Dr. David Duke a question, click on the call and chat tab, and then click the appropriate icon there, the show icon. Looks like we're first in line, the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. Click on that, and it'll bring you into the waiting room in the studio. If you want to listen, and of course you can do that with all the other shows, whenever they're on. If you want to listen to the previous broadcast, just click on podcasts. And again, the applicable show that you want to listen to. We've got hundreds and hundreds of shows up there. So check it out. Okay, so the show is a call-in show. That means that it's dictated, the direction of the show is dictated by the callers. So we're just standing by waiting for your questions and comments. And the good doctor has, we don't hold to this exactly because it depends on how many people are in the waiting room. Right now we've got a few and we're going to get to them. But at about 15 seconds before 15 minutes, it's called a Freudian slip. That's probably more appropriate sometimes. 15 seconds before that would be funny. 15 seconds before the 2 minutes, you will hear this. And then on the 2 minute mark, you'll hear it again. And that means Dukester. Let's wrap it up. And again, sometimes if we don't have a lot of people in the waiting room, then we can give Dr. Duke a little leeway. But as soon as they start coming in, then we got to get moving. And some topics deserve a little more than 2 minutes. And so at any rate, that's how it works. And it's a 2 hour show. We started out at 1 hour, but that was not enough, so I went to 2 hours. And before I give you the ongoing challenge, which has not been met yet, of course, check out Speak Free Radio because we got a bunch of new hosts. So original programming, I mean. So a bunch of great shows, very hard-hitting. And just go to speakfreeradio.com and look at the schedule, and you'll see 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And some of these new hosts are just, well, they're pretty powerful. Okay, so here is the ongoing challenge, which has not been met, and it will never be met. If anyone can let us know of a greater existential threat to humanity and free speech other than organized international Jewry, a.k.a. it's the Jews, stupid. let us know, and we will quit the show immediately. If someone can let us know of an individual who can deliver that message about the threat posed by "It's the Jews, stupid," better than David Duke, let us know, and we'll quit. Of course, we'll want to meet him, but we'll quit right away. Now, Dave is requesting 10 minutes. Yeah. He says, "I need a 10-minute opening today to share some vital wisdoms." All right, let's put this to a Democratic vote.
No vote. This is not
Oh, he's a dictator.
Yes, no vote.
How are you, Dave?
How you doing?
I'm doing
great,
good, buddy.
Great to talk
Dave,
to you, my good friend.
Dave, I got a lot of young white nationalist radio hosts who want you as a guest.
Well, we'll do that because I think it's really important. I basically uttered what's called a fatwa.
Fatwa.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of a dictum. And I really believe in this fatwa or this principle or this protocol. And I really have made a call to all white people in this world. And again, I guess I'm the best known person of white nationalism or who is working for the preservation of European mankind and the traditions of our people and the freedom of our people, the very existence of our people. And I've had a lifetime of experience. And I want to convey to people who are to our people around the world, and it goes along with all other people as well, but I do believe, honestly, that every true white patriot or somebody who wants to preserve European heritage, values, and freedom, and we really are in an existential battle here, we have to understand the same people who are genociding the Palestinians are genociding the European people. They have promoted policies, and they've been the orchestrators of the policies that are making us a minority in our own nations, that are teaching our children to hate themselves. And I think it's really important from a standpoint of human rights, and I am a based person, and my base, my whole life really has been a choice between what most people aspire to in their life. People aspire to wealth. They aspire to, you know, being an influencer. They aspire to being popular. They aspire to, say, political power. But there's another choice in life, and that's the choice for truth and justice. And there's nothing more important for any people, any individual, than to preserve their expression of humanity, their freedom, their traditions, and their values. And I really believe very strongly, and not just strongly, I believe with all my heart and soul that at this moment in history, it is really vital that every white person around the world stands in solidarity with the Palestinian people. They are being genocided by the same element, the same global power, the same racist supremacist power that's destroying us. But I'm saying this not simply because it's in our interest, obviously, to expose our enemy, but because it's right and just. I really believe that we're all human beings. I believe that all of us know what real truth and justice is. Any of us out there, if they say a child who is in need or is being abused or killed or, say, choked by another human being, we would rush to that child's defense. It's in our nature, especially in the nature of Europeans. And I do believe that this massacre of the Palestinians is something that's obvious to the world, and it's exposing our ultra-racist, hateful enemies who are also the same forces that are destroying Western civilization. So I suggest that our people, it's not like we should do this for our advantage. We should do this because when we defend human rights of all people, including the Palestinian people, we're actually defending our own human rights. And we're showing people that we're not simply looking for our own advantage, even though we want to preserve ourselves and we want to preserve our heritage, obviously, like every people does. The Palestinians certainly want to. And no leftist who might even support the Palestinian people and their freedom would deny the Palestinians the right to preserve their freedom in their own nation, their own land, right? And not to be murdered and killed and have their children killed. And I think it's really important for us to know and understand where we're coming from. And I believe in human rights, and I'm an activist for European people for the same reason that I say we should stand with the solidarity and solidarity of the Palestinian people, because the truth is we believe in human rights. And if we really truly believe in human rights and treating people justly and fairly and decently, not killing people, making them suffer, torturing them, imprisoning them like the Zionists are doing in Israel to the Gazan people in a concentration camp. By doing that, we are really asserting to ourselves and our own spirituality who we are in terms of our own hearts and the values that motivate us. So I do believe in human rights for our people, for the European people, and for all people, and we should stand in solidarity. Now, what I wanted to start the show with today was...
Wait a second. Hold on there. That's not part of the 10 minutes?
No, it's not. That was another thing that's now the preface of everything I'm doing right now, support Palestinians. Now, this is something different, which I think people enjoy. It's not very long. It's about 10 minutes, 11 minutes maybe at the most. I gathered together a lot of my quotations. In fact, I went through some of the quotations that sometimes they have on the internet. I found one video that shared a lot of the quotations I want, and I added some and subtracted from in terms of some of the things that have motivated me in my life. And I wanted to share with our audience, and I think that they might really enjoy it. There's a lot of, I believe there's wisdom in it. It's the judge of the audience, whether they would agree with that. So I'd like to share, you know, with our audience some of these issues, which I think are so interesting and I think so advantageous to us in our lives. So let me just start. I'm just going to quote to you some of the sayings that I enjoy and motivate me in my life. And there's a lot of things you might find really powerful and other things you might find less powerful. But it's going to be about 10, 11 minutes for me to go through them. But here I go. Let me just get going and we'll get it over with and we'll go to the calls. It'll be about 10 minutes and then we'll get to the calls for the rest of the 2 hours. So here we go. I'm just going to start with a whole bunch of different things. Here we go. No one is too busy. It's only a matter of priorities. Boy, that's something we need to take care of in our life. It's not the fact that we're so busy. It's what priorities we have. If it keeps you happy, keep it quiet. That's an interesting thought. Be careful who you trust. Salt and sugar look the same. That's a good admonition. Don't depend too much on anyone in this world, because even your own shadow leaves you when you're in darkness. Interesting. Remember, some of the best times of your life haven't even happened yet. And boy, living like that makes us full of possibility, doesn't it? Bad habits are like a comfortable bed. They're easy to get into, but hard to get out of. Time always exposes what you truly mean to someone. Boy, that's a truism, isn't it? In your relationships and your friendships. Stay calm. You've been through this before. You'll get through it again. Learn to heal without venting to everyone. We don't need to complain. We just need to heal. Time always exposes what you truly mean to someone. That's another play on the earlier quote I gave you. You're being judged no matter what you do. So be who you want to be. Be truthful. Striving for success without hard work is like trying to harvest where you haven't planted. If you don't let go of the wrong people, you'll never meet the right people. If you don't control your mind, someone else will. Never been more true than today. if you're not falling down occasionally, you're just coasting along. You're not striving for the mountaintop. First, it hurts. Then it makes you stronger and better and greater. Work at your job and make a living. Work on yourself and make a fortune. And the fortune you make the most of is the fortune of your true soul. There will always be someone who doesn't see your worth. Don't let that person be you. Do what no one else can do, and you'll become what no one else can become. Remember, 5 years ago, you dreamed about being where you are now. Now think about that, and you'll find some revelations. If people treat you like an option, leave them like a choice. Value experience over possessions, because memories are the greatest treasures and knowledge of life. So many people love you. Don't focus on the people who don't love you. Playing it safe is the most dangerous thing you can do in life. That's so true. Never be embarrassed to struggle. There's absolutely no shame in working hard to get to where you want to be. Never be embarrassed by your struggle. Growing stronger doesn't help. Or rowing harder doesn't help when you're going in the wrong direction. Your vision will be blurry, but it will grow clear with time. Boy, that is continually true. Take care of your body. Remember that your health is another form of the greatest wealth you have. You don't get paid for the hour. You get paid for the value you bring to that hour. Let the improvement of yourself keep you so busy that you have no time to criticize others. Guard well your thoughts when alone and your words when accompanied. Your strongest muscle and worst enemy is your mind, so train it well. Don't react. Cut off the negative people in silence. The fact that you're not where you want to be should be enough motivation for you. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Stop telling people everything. Most people don't care, and some secretly want you to fail. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Talking without thinking is like shooting without aiming. Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there's no path and leave a trail yourself. It's a slow process, but quitting won't speed up that process. What comes easy won't last, and what lasts will not come easy. Don't ruin a good today by thinking about a bad yesterday. Let it go. Someone else's progress doesn't make yours any less profound. Small circle, private life, and you have a peaceful mind. Sometimes we create our own heartbreaks through unexpected expectation. Just let it be. If it's meant to be, it will happen. Just be real. It saves everybody's time. Don't share your personal life with anyone. Do not let anyone have anything that could harm you, because everyone has parts of their life that could harm you if chosen by design. Embrace solitude. Don't let anyone ever make you feel like you don't deserve what you truly want in a just way. You grow mentally weak when your life is too comfortable. You grow weak in the body when your body is too comfortable. Sharing your accomplishments is essential, but avoid the pitfall of oversharing every minor success. Life's most significant achievement often emerges from the depths of adversity. So true. Mistakes are stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Learn from them and move forward. The moment you let go of your discipline is the moment you give up on yourself. Done is better than perfect. Your worst enemy might be someone you trust the most. Beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. Self-care is not selfish. It's essential for a balanced and fulfilling life. The value of time becomes evident when it's gone. So use it wisely.
Perfect one.
Success is what happens after you've survived all your mistakes. Well, I'm almost done here today.
How many more, Dave?
A few. Winners focus on winning. Let me finish it. Losers focus on winners. Before something great happens, everything seems to fall apart. Boy, it's so true. One day you'll see why God made you wait. That's right. For your peace of mind, don't let people know too much about you. I'm just assembling this or assemble this together. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. If someone tells you you can't, they're showing you their limits, not yours. If you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection. There are two types of pains, one that hurts you and the other that changes you and makes you better and stronger. Be selfish with your time. A lot of people don't deserve it. Silence is the best answer to someone who doesn't value your words. At the same time, sharing your knowledge is essential to your own learning. Fear is temporary. Regret is forever. Excuses made today are make today easier, but tomorrow harder. Discipline makes today hard, but tomorrow easier. Don't give up. You're closer to victory than you think. Never give up. Sometimes being alone is the best medicine for your soul. And finally, your future needs you. Your past doesn't. So give yourself to your future. Don't get burned twice by the same flame. Learn. Worrying about losing is losing before you even begin. We fall, we break, we fail, but then we rise. We heal. We overcome. We conquer. That's what life's all about. Sacrifice a few years of comfort for decades of freedom. Sacrifice a few sorrows for the greatest pleasures that life can offer you. Have patience. All things are difficult before they become easy. Hardship often prepares an ordinary person for an extraordinary destiny. Positive thinking will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. I got about 1 minute left. The only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. Don't let yesterday take up too much of today. If you get tired, learn to rest, not to quit. The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why you were born. Your past is a place to learn and grow. It's not a place to live in. Don't rush the process. Trust it. Great things take time. That's it for today. I just wanted to share those thoughts. And you can take this tape of this show. And if you need a lift, or if you need some interesting thoughts to dwell on, or something that you can grow from or learn from, you can take some of these sayings that I treasure. And they may add to your own, hopefully, to your own inspiration and your own dedication to doing the things you must do in your life to make it great. That's it. Thanks, Dave, for letting me share that to start the show.
Sure. Okay.
Hope you enjoyed some of those.
Yes, I did. Let's get to say it. That might be, might not be. I don't know. Say it. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, guess right.
Are you also in there as Ragnar, too?
I know that guy.
No. Ragnar is a friend of mine from the UK.
Okay, that's what it was. Yes.
So, I know that guy. I recognize his voice instantly. There we go.
Richard.
What a good voice he has, too.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Duke. I mean, my question comes with the news that I think America has approved the funding of aid to both Ukraine and Israel. Is it 60 billion?
$60 billion for Ukraine,
yes.
And $26 billion for Israel. And that's,
yes,
on top of many other billions. We've given Israel like $30 billion before at different times.
That's given
Israel the equivalent of something like $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 for every single Israeli. Now, these are,
yes,
people in Israel haven't paid a penny of taxes in America.
No.
And you think about all the people in this country that need help and assistance, who've lost their jobs, who can't afford their rent. I mean, you can't. I mean, America's never been in worse economic shape for the middle class than it is right now. Yet here we are sending our billions of dollars to a country, and we're facilitating genocide, which is a stain, which is a giant blot, a giant stain on the soul of every American, because we have to take some responsibility for our government.
And Richard, what's your question, buddy?
Yeah, well, my question is exactly that. How long can this go on for, David Duke? Is this something which is, a money laundering operation, which will eventually end up with the Americans just having enough and voting in someone else? Or, you know, to what extent? I mean, because I've been looking at this from a historical perspective, looking at the origins of, I think, the Yom Kippur War is when it went up by, I think, the quintillion.
It was like 36 billion when America.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're in the billions. So, like, my question is, Dr. Duke, if I may, you know, how long can this go on for?
Well, let me answer your question. It will go on as long as we permit it to go on. It could go on forever. And what I'm suggesting to you, and this is this stark reality of what we're facing right now in this world, it's going to get a lot worse. We are headed for disaster in the United States, in Canada, in Great Britain, France, Germany, across Europe, and across the whole world. And we're also putting terrible strains and hurt upon the Russian people, the Chinese people, the people of Africa. There's massive more, for instance, starvation right now in the world. And what's happening to the Palestinian people? And this is something that I believe in. There's an old Indian saying called, or term they use called, karma. And karma is like, it's kind of like what you deserve. In a sense, karma is like what you get is what you deserve. And the truth is that any human being that's aware of a great wrong or the damage of innocent people, and knowing that their own government, of which they're supposed to feel some responsibility for, we feel pride in the good things our country does or our countrymen do, we have to also feel shame in what's done in our name. It's horrific. And we're supporting the genocide of tens of thousands of Palestinian women and children and old people, destruction of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of homes, apartments, suffering. I mean, we're literally torturing. We've had 14,000 children already died, probably around 15,000 or more. That's probably a low figure. And we've had double that number, maybe 30,000 or more, suffer horrific tortures.
All right, we gotta get moving. We got a full house.
One more sentence, Nick, and all right. I'll be finished. You can ask another question or go.
No, we gotta go to the next caller.
Well, that's fine, but let me finish. Yeah. I've been done already.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Okay. but I do want to sometimes cap it off with a sentence or two. So I really do believe that people have a sense. When they study politics or something that's in the news, it's almost like it's not real. It's almost like a novel they're reading or something. These are real people. And these children who've been wounded, who've lost their arms, the estimate is that 1 in 10 Palestinian children cannot use their legs right now, cannot even use their legs because of the crippling injuries they've had to the bombings and the shootings and the snipings and all the rest of it. Imagine if that was your children. Imagine it was you. Imagine if you got your arm blown off or your eyes, knocked out of your head or burned to a crisp like your gargoyle. You survived, but you can't hardly speak and you look like a monster. Are the children of your wife you love or the parents you love or the children you love don't even look recognizable, don't see the beauty of life in them, but they look like some sort of creature from a horror movie. This is real, and we have to stand up to it. And if we don't stand up to it and do more than we think we can do, or be brave at this particular time in history and purposeful at this time in history, shame on us. And we will eventually suffer our own sufferings from our own people we love, our own nations. And that's exactly what's going on. America may be paying right now for these sins of letting these Jews lead us into all these wars. We killed a lot of people in the First and Second World War. We killed a lot of people in the supporting of these wars since the Second World War. And millions of people have suffered and died because of what the American government's done. I admit it was run by the Jews and the Jewish
people. Dave, we got to get to the next caller.
Did this, but still, it's our responsibility, and we have a duty to stand up to it.
So, all right. So, Richard, the answer to your question is it'll go on forever.
On Dave's last point, I think Europeans have it within themselves to beat the odds. I mean, we beat the Black Death. We beat the overwhelming odds in Islamic Spain. And we can do it again, that's end-to-end on a positive note. Thank you very much, Dave Gahari.
Not over till the fat lady sings, man.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, that's it. We'll get you back in. Okay, we got Ragnar. Ragnar, what's your first name and where are you calling from?
My name's Stephen. I'm from Northern Ireland in the UK.
Yes, sir. How are you?
All right, go ahead, buddy.
I'm good. The floor. It's just my great friend and follower follows my YouTube channel, so I thought I'd be a great candidate to come on here for some reason. As a white nationalist, a European, everybody talks about the Jews, this and the Jews, that, and the Jews, the other, everything about the Jews.
Yes, sir.
These people hate us. The Jews hate us. The Muslims hate us. Anything to do with white European people, including the American people who are white European people, they can't stand us. They want rid of us.
Sir, they want rid of us for one reason. It's because the same media that tells our people to hate themselves, that has led our governments to have policies of not enforcing their immigration laws, of purposefully changing the demographics of our country, outnumbering us and outvoting us, are the same people who are poisoning our minds every day, and that's the Jews who control the international media. If you cannot understand the Jewish pinnacle role in the destruction of European mankind, then you don't understand the workings of this world. They control Wikipedia. They control Google. They control our search engines. They control Facebook. They control the biggest media corporations on the world. They control Hollywood. And they have not only taught us to hate ourselves and turned our governments as instruments of our own destruction in our own lands. But they've also caused the rest of the world to hate us. And it's important right now, especially with what's going on in Palestine. I mean, if you really believe in human rights and you really believe in the rights of human beings to have our civil rights in Europe and America and to continue to exist and to have our rights, we should certainly stand as well with the rights of the Palestinian people not to be murdered, not to be killed, not to be genocided, not to lose their freedoms at the hands of these Jews. It's the same Jews that are doing this to them. And it's important for us to communicate to the world that we white people of Europe, we are not part and parcel of these governments of Europe that are supporting Israel. We are victims of this government as much as the Palestinian people are victims of it. Or the Iraqis were victims of it in the weapons of mass destruction lies that were created and the mass destruction of Iraqis. Or the 500,000 children that died in Iraq because of American Jewish sanctions, like Madeleine Albright, the Jewish Secretary of State, who told us that 500,000 children in Iraq were worth it. So she was saying that the United States of America, under the Jewish power, of course, it's not just the United States, it's Jewish power that rules us, and Madeleine Albright's Jewish, the same way we have a Jewish Secretary of State right now, Mr. Blinken, with a Jewish Secretary of State that caused the Ukraine war that's killed 500,000 Ukrainians right now and destroyed Ukraine. We've had Jewish power that killed 7 to 11 million Ukrainians in the Holodomor. We had Jewish communism that killed 20 to 30 million Christians. We've had the Jewish state of Israel, which committed terrorism and attacked the American ship, USS Liberty International Waters, that did terrorism in the so-called Laval Affair, that had the most damaging spy in the whole history of America, and has led us into wars where thousands of Americans were wounded, where families were broken up. Listen, if you don't understand the Jewish role in the destruction of our world and the destruction of European mankind and the hatred that they heap on us in every damn movie and every damn source of power that they have in politics and academia, because they are the source of the biggest white hate in the world. If you can't understand that, please, please open your mind, study the question, look at communism, look at these wars. The First World War killed 37 million people. The Second World War killed another 70 to 80 million people. That's more than 100 million Europeans. That war was avoidable. That war happened because of Jewish power and media that made Germany the enemy. In fact, before the war even started, the book called Germany Must Perish, which was praised in the media of America and the media of Great Britain, a comprehensive program for the eradication from the earth of all the German people on the planet, right? This was promoted by the major media like the New York Times, Newsweek, and major London newspapers as well. And in 1933, Jews in the Daily Express in Great Britain had a big headline. It was called Judea Declares War on Germany. We had a war. And then the reason why we're suffering right now, all the things you talk about, because we've had more than a century of this Jewish power that has been totally destructive of European people. That's why I'm talking about Jews every day, and I'll talk about Jews till the cows come home, because without talking about Jews and overthrowing Jewish power, there is no salvation for European mankind.
I'm not disagreeing with you, sir. I agree with everything you just said there.
Sure, go ahead. Well, thank you so much. Maybe I misunderstood you, and if I misunderstood you, I apologize. But
I have studied.
Let's see what his question is.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've studied the Quran. I've studied Judaism and stuff, and the Jews hate us with a passion.
They
blame us for this, that, and the fucking other. And at the end of the day, the British people. I am a British person. Give them fucking Israel in 1948, I think it was. Their own land. So, because no other land would take them. They sailed them to America. They sailed them to Canada. And nobody wanted them.
It was a deal with the devil, didn't it, that created Israel from Great Britain. Because basically Great Britain went to the Jews. And they said that, and the Jews went to them and said, if you give us Palestine, or let us go to Palestine with the Balfour Declaration, we will get America into the war. And I just saw a newsreel, in fact, this morning, very, very early in my time, I saw a newsreel talking about and showing how that Woodrow Wilson, who was our president, who was totally controlled by the Jews, in fact, he was being blackmailed by the Jews. So the Jews promised Great Britain if the Jews would get America into the war using their influence in media and their interest in politics and their money in Wall Street, if they would get America into the war, then Great Britain then would give them the Balfour Declaration. This is all admitted, right? And that's exactly what happened. And I have a newsreel talking about Woodrow Wilson, in fact, the Jews call him the first Jewish president, who talked about how he supported the Balfour Declaration. And the reason he supported the Balfour Declaration is because they were blackmailing the hell out of him. He was being sued by a woman for alienation of affection because he was having an affair. And this is way back in the 1920. This is back in a time when people were more moral and you didn't have affairs with other people's wives. And he was a professor doing this and he was exposed and these Jews got control of this woman and they were able to use her to blackmail him and they paid the bills and so forth for this woman and to hide this affair he was having with a married woman. And in exchange, he did what they wanted. He endorsed the Balfour Declaration and got us into the war. And then he put Americans in harm's way, which was a war that we had no interest in being in. This wasn't about any preservation of America. And by the way, it wasn't about anything for Great Britain either. The First World War was nothing more than a meat grinder for Europeans and British young men who shouldn't have been killed in that war. They should have been alive and fought against the Jewish takeover of their country and the takeover of Europe takeover of
At the start of the First World War, the white population of the planet was 30%. We are now 7.8%, I think it is. Maybe 7.8%.
You're right.
Now, Dr. Duke, let's get on to Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was a broke dropout. He had failed. Gallipoli, you name it, it failed. Who funded him to become Prime Minister of Britain?
The Rothschilds did. That's
the
fact.
Rothschilds.
Yes. In fact, the book by Martin Gilbert, who is the official British biographer of Winston Churchill, who was knighted for that, Martin Gilbert, he was a big Zionist Jew, and he wrote a book called Churchill and the Jew, and in there, he basically brags about how the Rothschilds befriended the poor Churchill family. He had peerage, he had an automatic position in the House of Lords. And they wanted to use his influence and his military record, the record of his ancestors, which were a long line of British patriots. They wanted to use that for them to address and promote their war efforts against Germany and their war efforts to cleanse the Jews from criticism. And in fact, interesting enough, Churchill went against communism. So he saw it as the greatest threat to humanity. He even said in there, in the book, in fact, Gilbert admits that Churchill said that Leon Trotsky saw communism as a mean for Jews to take over the world. But the interesting thing is that even the article itself was a bit of a false flag in the sense that Churchill said, yes, communism is evil. And he said, communism is so evil. It's the greatest evil the world's ever seen in the killing millions and millions of people globally. But he then went and said, oh, but Judaism and Zionism is a good thing. But the interesting thing, the same Zionists that supported communism globally, and Jews did support communism globally, the same people, the Jews that supported communism, also supported Zionism. And now they are completely Zionist, and Zionism is the ultimate racial supremacism on earth, and it's really about Jews controlling the whole world. And there's not even much hiding it anymore. It's so obvious what they're doing. I'm out of time, but thanks for that.
All right. We'll get you back in, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll get you back in, okay?
Hope I gave you a little more additional information that helps you understand.
Sorry, guys. I had another question for the doctor there.
We'll do more.
If you want to let me go,
we're going to get you back in after we
we'll
go. What's that?
If you want to jump in, we'll get you back in.
Yeah, we'll get you back in.
No, I'm going to remove you from the stage.
Yeah,
and bring in the other callers.
But we'll
get you back in. We'll bring you back in. Okay.
Enter the queue again. Take care.
Yeah. All right. Jimmy, what's the good news, buddy?
Hey, Dave Gary and Dr. Duke. Everything's okay here. Hey, you know, I like the opening and all that coming from Dr. Duke is makes it even better. But, you know, when you say you're for whites and, you know, I know you're for all peoples and their differences. And it's good to have people that are different. And I like people's differences. But, you know, if we were all white, it'd be boring. And
well, I mean, I'm not boring, but we all have a right to, you know, to live. We all have a right to savor and to protect and our future. And the interesting thing is that we've got to talk about some of the same leftists who are defending the Palestinians, which they should defend them. They don't accord us the same rights as they would accord Palestinians. They say that Palestinians should be able to control their own destiny. They shouldn't have a bunch of Jewish supremacists ruling over them, murdering them, changing them, demographically destroying them, genociding them. Yet we have the Jewish power structure. They are eliminating white people on this earth. We have a birth rate now, which is constructed by the morals created by Hollywood, the morals created by the ethics of our time, which Jews basically control through their control of media and their control of so much communication and so much academia. They're teaching us to hate ourselves. They have purposely promoted feminism as a way to have fewer children. They purposely promoted homosexuality and all sorts of other sexual degeneracy. They've purposely promoted lifestyles that have lessened our birth rate. They've purposely promoted pornography, and they've made a lot of money off of it as well, and which has been very, you know, it actually lowers birth rate as well, pornography does, because it destroys true sexual potency and even sperm counts. But it's like, it's just amazing when you start to look at all these things together. And these are the things that we have to recognize and understand. So we have to convey to the people.
Jimmy, did you have a question?
Well, I got one more thing to say.
No, Jimmy, did you have a question?
We've got to convey to the people of the world.
Okay, you didn't have a question? Okay.
Palestinians have the right to rule themselves and not be genocided and destroyed and tortured by these Jews. Europeans should have that same right. So let's be consistent. And globalism, which is run by the Jews, globalism is tyranny, where a few people at the top of the power structure, the richest billionaires are on Earth, they're not giving us freedom on this planet. They're giving us tyranny on this planet. And that's something that Richard was alluding to earlier in the conversation here. The tyranny that is represented is, and by the way, this technological tyranny, the ability for them to track everybody, for the ability to affect our minds, to control our search engines, even us not even be aware of it, control our encyclopedias, control our dictionaries, control our values, control our information, censor our every thought and anybody who expresses the wrong opinions. This is the greatest threat to the sovereignty and the freedom of the human mind in the history of the world. And as Richard talked about, how long is this going to last? It's going to get worse and worse. The dystopian future, as Orwell would say, is staring us right in the face. And if you really want a picture of the future of mankind, unless we have some big change, unless we overthrow these Jewish ultra-racist extremist supremacists, because they are the real Nazis. They're what they call Nazism is. They are truly what Nazism is. They're not the National Socialists, what Germany was, but they're definitely what they claim the Nazis were in terms of how they present Nazism in terms of Hollywood. They are people who are trying to conquer the world. They are people that want to take away human freedom. They are people who are committing mass genocide and who hate all of humanity and who believe, and this is the head rabbi of Israel, by the way, said this, Rabbi Yosef, and he said it very clearly. He said the only purpose of Gentiles on Earth, which is 99.8% of the population of planet Earth, that the only purpose of all Gentiles, that's your kids, folks, that's your parents, that's your wife or husband, that's your brothers and sisters, that the only purpose on earth is to serve Jews, while Jews are to be your masters over you. That's exactly what he said to the whole people of Israel. This is not a mythology. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is real. And they've been preaching this world domination for centuries, and they have a long record of genocide, and what's going on in Gaza is just the latest bit of it. So we have to really get over to the people of the world, including the Gazans, including other people of the world who believe in human rights, that what they're doing to the Palestinians is the same thing they're doing. Palestinians may hate Europeans as much, maybe even more, than they hate Palestinians, but they want to control us.
And like hey, I got that.
He says so well. He says they're writing the zombie corpse of Western civilization to try to control the world for the for these Jews.
Well, while they're trying to control the world, I'd like to see the rest of the world get as much information as they can, because I mean, half of the white people in this country have a closed mind, and I think there's more open mind everywhere else, and we could use the help. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I agree with that, too. Yeah, and I think we need to do that, and we need to explain this to people. You just have to look at the fact. Anybody that says that it's white racism that runs things, that's a danger. Are white supremacists controlling the Western world? Is that why we opened our borders to where we're going to be a minority in our own country, outvoted and outnumbered? Is that why we have a media that condemns and makes our ancestors evil?
We got to get to the next call, Dave.
Us? So that's not white supremacy that controls things. The same people who demonize Palestinians are the same people who are demonizing Europeans. And Europeans would not be treating the Palestinians this way. And this is Jewish genocide. This is not European apartheid. That's for sure.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Jimmy, we'll get you back in. All right, we got Goose. Goose, the floor is yours, buddy.
Hey, Dave and Dave, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. How you doing? Hope you're enjoying the show.
Good,
We're going to town tonight.
Yeah, always. I'm just watering my rose bush here.
We're definitely pushing the accelerator to the floor tonight. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, I love it, Hey Dave, real quick, I won't take up too much of your time. Now, where did you do the audio book for Jewish supremacism? You said that you did it in Central Europe during the recording.
I actually recorded the last version of it in Madrid, Spain, and in Barcelona, Spain. And I did that at some friends' house who were very, very good people who were patriotic Spaniards. And so they put myself and my lady up for a few weeks, and I did the recordings there. And they're still out there. You can find them on archive.org, and you also can find them through my website, davidduke.com, do a search on that.
And yeah, they're on Odyssey, too.
Yeah, you can download all the chapters, and then you can play it anytime you want. And millions of people have listened to this this live forums. And this is 40 hours. So this is a whole college education. It's really a graduate school education on the Jewish question, race question. And there's a lot of interesting and, I think, entertaining material in it in terms of my life and the adventures that I've had and the experiences I've had. And I think people will really enjoy. I have a great chapter in there called My Indian Odyssey, The Ghost of India, that's still with me. And I talk about my experiences in India and reflections on Indian history and the meaning that it has for us in the West, that we don't want to go down the same road, the unfortunate road that India took. And yet that's exactly where we're going.
Yep, absolutely. I just make a quick comment, like the comment I put in the chat was, every time I go to Walmart, Dave, I feel like a 6'3" Viking or Scottish chieftain in a foreign land surrounded by 4-foot brown Mayans. I mean, when is the white man going to wake up to this like a hot ash in his boot?
You know something, I've been to Mexico, I've been to South America, I've been all over the world, And I really enjoyed meeting a lot of Mayans. I actually went to some universities and met some professors. They're very familiar with their heritage, and they had a civilization. I don't agree with all the things that happened there, some of the human sacrifices and so forth. And
both I was just joking, Dave. Every time I go to Walmart, there's 300 brown people around me.
Of course, obviously, and this is America. This is not Mexico. This is not Central America. This is not South America, and we should have a fundamental right to continue our particular heritage in our own country and have that country reflect the values and the ideals of our people. Now, I believe, and this is a very fundamental point, which is so important, it's the theme of the program tonight, I think, that all people have a right and all people have a natural desire to preserve their own identity, preserve their own heritage, their own values, their own traditions, their own songs, their own, the way they wear their clothes, all these things.
You know, right? we are a diaspora without a government, without representation, you know, a mix right. of the Celtic and Scot and English and Germanic tribes have you, with absolutely not only no representation, but an actual ruling class that wants to destroy us.
We have a Jewish ruling class that's dedicated to wiping us out, to literally wiping, and there's another way to put it. You can use the biblical term, they're wiping our seed off the earth. It's just like I was talking about Rabbi Yosef earlier, the chief Sephardic rabbi, which is the titular kind of the greatest authority in Judaism in the world. And he stated it really clearly that he wanted to wipe the Palestinians off the face of the earth, literally wipe their seed off the earth. Their celebrations, like the Amalekites, were Netanyahu was talking about how that the Palestinians are Amalekites. And we know what to do to the Amalekites. It's right there in Samuel, right? Kill everybody, man, woman, child. And just to make sure that Jews understand and Jewish soldiers understand, those little babies suckling at their mother's breast, they got to be killed too. The horror and the evil of Jewish genocide is something you couldn't even make up. You could write a horror novel or a whole horror movie about this, but this is real. This is a process. I mean, 20, 30 million people were murdered by the Jews and Soviets in Russia. 7 to 11 million, I think it was more like 11 million, in Ukraine by Kaganovich, and who was the former Jewish head of the Communist Party in Ukraine, and he was the deputy premier in the Soviet Union. And even Raphael Lemkin, the Jewish historian, who was the inventor of the term genocide, said it was a genocide in Ukraine, and that there was a genocide to reduce the Ukrainian percentage of the population so that they could resist, so the Soviets could control Ukraine. So they literally poisoned, or they starved the children of Ukraine and the mothers of Ukraine. It was almost entirely an infanticide and a matricide of both their children and the mothers.
Dave, we got a top of the hour break.
All right,
we're going to come back.
Yep,
all right,
thanks.
We're top of the hour break. Okay, folks.
Thanks, Dave.
It's Gary, who has no voice. Thank you, buddy. Who has no voice anymore. And go to speakfreeradio.com and check out all the wonderful hosts we have. And that was Goose, who came aboard with his question, the second hour of the show. Unbelievable. Where did it go? How did we go through 1 hour already? How is that possible?
Because when you really got a fascinating and interesting
Anyone?
Show with a lot of knowledge, can you hear me? Am I unmuted? Are you listening to me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It's because
yeah. Can you hear me?
Because when you
can
really
you hear me? Fascinating,
I can. And because when you really have a fascinating show with a lot of interesting facts that you're not going to hear anywhere else, people want to hear this. They're riveted. And I'm riveted by truth. And that's one reason why I'm doing what I'm doing right now tonight and for my whole life. Because when I heard these truths for the first time as a young man, they meant something to me. They weren't just like scattered facts out in the universe. I realized that Jewish power and Jewish racism and Jewish supremacy had an existential threat to European mankind and really to people of the entire planet, to the whole world itself. And once I realized that, I became involved in it. And there's no more interesting thing in the world to me than exposing this power and fighting for truth and fighting for life, not just the Palestinian people, but the European people and all people, because I know that we are messengers of peace. We're messengers of freedom. We're messengers for solving, you know, saving human life and preserving human rights for our people and all people. And that's what makes me tick. And that's what makes my watch tick in my life. So That's what I want my time to be
showing. Dave. Okay. Well, let's do it. Let's get back to the calls.
Got it.
We got Robert in Yuma. Go ahead, Robert.
Last train to Yuma.
Robert, you're muted, buddy. Robert, you're muted.
I'm here.
There he is.
Can you hear me? Sorry about that.
Can you hear you?
Dr. Duke.
Yeah.
I believe that the advertisement agencies are promoting a dysgenic society. Is it fair to say that the advertisement agencies are Jewish dominated?
It's not only fair to say, it's just fact. In fact, I did a lot of research on this years ago, and it's the same now as it has been. All the way since Edward Bernays, who was a nephew to Sigmund Freud, who was the father of what's called public relations, when they decided that they wanted to expand the number of smokers. And by the way, that ended up destroying many millions of women's and mothers' lives and their children's lives by promoting smoking among women, because very few women smoked in the 1920s. And so they created this lie that somehow women who smoked were cool and they were fashionable, and how that women would be, you know, very successful and very happy when they smoke. They didn't worry about the millions of women that would die ultimately from breast cancer and lung cancer and secondhand smoke and what's happened to their children, the fires that were started in their houses and damage that was done. But Edward Bernays was a Jew, and he basically manipulated the women of America. And the way they did it, and this is an interesting story if we have time for the quick story here, but they actually had one of the Easter parades where they'd have the fashion parades and young women debutantes would march in the streets of New York and major cities. So he went and he paid these debutantes, gave them money. In the middle of the march, the Easter parade march, they're showing their Easter bonnets and their Easter costumes. And they would stop, pull out cigarettes and smoke, and they called them torches of freedom. Well, cigarettes had nothing to do with freedom. It destroyed, in fact, the entire feminist divide between men and women, this war that they tried to create between men and women, was part of their agenda, because it was intended to cause less marriage, to dissolve more marriages, to cause more conflict between men and women, anger between men and women. And that's going to lower, and when you break up families, lower the health and the well-being of white families, right? Now, I can show you how this works, because if you look at Israel, Israel has far less feminism than America has. In fact, let me give you an example. Jews all over the world, in every white country, they brag about the fact they promote gay marriage. Well, guess what the fact is in Israel? Is gay marriage allowed? No. It's not allowed. In fact, not only is it not allowed, it's condemned. And they even, if we have a married couple and one of the couple turns gay, whether it's a man turning to a homosexual male or a woman became a lesbian, they don't even let the children of the union visit the gay individual of the marriage, woman or man, because they don't want the children to be influenced by the homosexual lifestyle. Now, Israel's got the highest birth rate in the Western world. They also control their pornography. They've got a great article in the London paper, The Independent, and it talks about the fact how in Israel, they very closely police the internet and police pornography, and they require any Jew who accesses the internet in Israel that they've got to publicly register their name, who they are, to go to these porn websites. Now, obviously, that's going to really cause a lot of young men and others not to go to porn websites. They don't want their name shown that they're going to these sleazy and disgusting and vile homosexual and other kinds of websites. But they've got everything is opposite for the state of Israel than what Jewish power all over the world promotes to the rest of the world. It's so easy to see this hypocrisy. It's the same way Israel has the strictest immigration laws in the world, while they fight for open borders. We just had Mayorkas. We had the Jewish dictator of the U.S. Senate, Chucky Boy Schumer, he calls himself, actually dismissed, in fact, his responsibility by the Constitution as head of the Senate was to conduct a trial to Mayorkas, who was head of the Homeland Security. And he was indicted. He was impeached by the House. And the Constitution's clear that you have to try that person who is charged by the House. They just dismissed it out of hand. There was no testimony. There was no trial because there is no Constitution in America. We have a Jewish dictatorship that's ruling us. But just notice on every stance, Israel is looked as a country that is not favorable to abortion. It's basically has an anti-abortion. It's much more difficult in Israel to get abortion than any European country because that's for Jews. So at the same time, I can show you Jewish publications where they boast about leading the efforts for more easily available abortion for goy countries like America, or Canada, or Europe than they do for the state of Israel. In Israel, why they want to get an abortion to all young women who are kind of ashamed of getting it. They want the abortion to be private. They don't want to broadcast it to the world, but they know that lessens abortions. So Israel's got the highest birth rate in the entire world, tirelessly, to do everything they can at every level they can to lessen drugs, which also lowers the HIV, homosexuality. All these things are meant to lower our sperm count, to lower our birth rate. These young people, and they're overwhelmingly young, and they're fertile, and they're coming into the United States, into America, and into Europe, who are reproducing at a rapid, they're reproducing like rabbits, I'll just put it that way. So in every point you want to make, what they teach and they preach and they provide for their own Jewish people is exactly the opposite of what the Jewish power structure in America promotes for the goyim of Europe and America. It's really quite amazing, isn't it?
Thank you, Dr. Duke. Another good answer. I like the beginning that you gave too. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dave Gahari, next question.
Dave, are you there? Is Dave freezing? I think you froze a couple times, Dr. Duke, too, while you're talking.
Well, that's not good. We got to get Dave's internet kicked up here.
Uh-oh. It looks like he's freezing, too.
Yeah, he looks frozen. He's either that or he's so stunned by my words, he's just speechless. Dave. Come back. Dave, you better reconnect or something. Well, go ahead and ask me another question because you've got the floor. And Dave,
when I said promoting dysgenic society, I was thinking more like, the race mixing and the degenerates, you know, telling girls to go with these degenerate gang bangers and stuff, you know.
It's got to be in Dave's computer. Now Dave's coming back, aren't you?
I hope
he is. I saw a blink anyway in his eyes. Okay, well, I'll answer in case if I'm still coming through. That's, I guess, okay.
I wish you would come back.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay, so hopefully the audience is hearing me. So let's just talk about that, what you're bringing up, the eugenics and so forth. And a good example of how that they brainwash us about everything is how they portrayed eugenics and the idea of eugenics. And eugenics is really a simple idea. And I think Dave's coming back alive. He's moving around a little bit. Can you hear me now, Dave? No, he can't hear. I can't hear his voice, but I can see his his lips move. But anyway, so eugenics is basically a very principled idea that the quality of a nation is going to rest in the quality of its people. And if you have people that are intelligent, and you have people who are moral, and you have people who are productive, who work hard, who basically obey the law and don't commit crimes and violence and all these other aspects, you're going to have a better country. And in many ways, the quality of the population itself, the education, the abilities, the intelligence makes a big impact on everything from who's going to be elected to office to the kind of effective business that you're going to have, science you're going to have, intelligence you're going to have, leadership you're going to have. And by the way, if you have programs like these insane wars, and it seems to be, to me, that wars in many ways, in fact, historically, wars have been very dysgenic. Because in historical senses, it's not the four F's, the guys that are screwed up, who are sick, are mutated, or some hurt in some ways, or challenged in some ways. They're not the ones that go off in the military, go off in the Roman army or the Greek army or the Palestinian, the whoever they are, the Samaritan army. They're the ones, they're going to stay home. They're going to stay home, and if they can, procreate. And every person, no matter how poor they are, the one thing they can do is have sex. They can have sexual relations, which is pretty inexpensive if all they got to do is find another lowly person like them that wants to have a little fun, sexual enjoyment, and they can reproduce. And they do reproduce. Whereas when you have the young men of your country, and especially the leadership, because it used to be that the people who led the military, who were the leaders of the platoons and leaders of the armies, they were at the front of the line. They were the ones that were most likely to be killed. So that's a dysgenic thing. So war can be a very dysgenic thing because it can kill the bravest and the smartest, the people, the natural leaders of a country. And that's one reason why the Jews have in the Talmud very clear writings where they say the best of Gentiles needs to be killed. Just like the best of snakes must have their heads crushed. Now, I'm not making this up. It's in the Jewish Encyclopedia, and it's in their Talmud as well. So eugenics is simply the idea that we don't have to have policies where this person's got to marry this person or this person should be sterilized by the government. But it means having policies, social policies, that encourage intelligent and capable and successful people to have families, big families, and successful families, and make those families have economic encouragement to have children, while trying to give good support for the children that are born to the poor people, yes. But at the same time, try to get them to be responsible and not just pump out the children. And children who are much more likely, by the way, to become part of the criminal element, and two are going to be very low IQ kids who are going to become more criminal. Because we know there is a correlation and association between, for instance, low IQ and criminality. So if you can go into any prison and you can go study the differences in crime rates with low IQ people compared to high IQ people. This was the problem of the...
You guys hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Okay, we got to go to the next caller. Thank goodness. Thanks, Robert. We'll get you back in, buddy. All right.
Good discussion while you were gone.
All right. We've got, I heard you. I don't know what's happening. We got Alan. Where are you calling from, Alan?
Alan, you there? Let's go to the next one.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Alan, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
From Texas. All right, go ahead, buddy.
How can you have a simple idea like simply wanting to encourage the best of people and the most successful people to have big families and kind of lower the birth rate of people who aren't married, who are not responsible?
I think we're having some technical issues here. Alan, go ahead with your question.
Having some cold.
Okay. Dave, hold on one second. Hold on. I think we're having some issues here with Alan. Alan, what's your question or comment?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I listened to quite a few podcasts on Goyim TV and various sources, and there's a topic that I hear that you might consider more like coming from the controlled ops side or the Alex Jones tier occasionally, and I seem like, unless I'm just missing it, I never hear it. And that is this issue of the supposed WHO global treaty that all these countries are supposed to sign up for in May that will supposedly override any state, any. So like I'm in Texas. We didn't have, it wasn't crazy like California, but supposedly next time with this treaty intact, they can read your, they can do whatever the hell they want. Have y'all heard about this? Is this true? Is it fear porn? This doesn't get talked about. I don't see on the, you know.
Well, here's what I think. I'll try to give you my reaction to these things, okay? There's always going to be these insane treaties, and there's always going to be these agreements that are destructive of our manufacturing, our economic well-being, our policies, our business, our economies, and that serves the international bankers and this international Jewish elite. There's 25% of the world's billionaires. There's only 15 million Jews in the whole world, but they're 25% of the billionaires. And these Jews are very politically oriented, and they completely dominate American politics and American fundraising, which controls politics. So what my cautionary tale is to you and to people out there, there's always going to be these treaties. And there's always going to be treaties that are also out there that are not truly enforced, and there's double standards for everything. I'll give an example of that. We have these three of the most important treaties in the world between countries. Is one, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That's probably one of the most important ones. It's the idea that you don't want the spread of nuclear weapons, especially as little tin pot countries. They can also go crazy and do things. You don't want the spread of nuclear weapons. And if someone develops nuclear energy in terms of production of electricity and power for the country and for the industry, you don't want that to be made into nuclear weapons. So we demand that any country that gets support in terms of nuclear energy or research or these kind of policies join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That is a necessity. Of course, North Korea didn't join that. And they're making nuclear bombs, and they're committed like a rogue state. They're sanctioned and everything. Well, Israel has never joined the NPT. Israel violates all of that because Israel gets away with anything. Because Israel, those Jews, are the ones that really control the globe, that control the World Economic Forum, that dominate the Council of Foreign Relations, that dominate our foreign policies, that dominate the treaties. They also are not members of the chemical weapons agreements. They're also not members of the biological weapon. And biological weapons are probably the most dangerous threats to humanity of any weapons because, as you know, it's easy nowadays to make viruses. A lot easier it is than to make an atomic bomb, to simply change the genetics of a virus. And you can make a virus ultimately deadly. You can make a virus where it doesn't even show the symptoms until, you know, they're delayed, and then suddenly they show up, but everybody's already infected by the time they've spread to everybody, but they're very contagious. And they can target people by their genetics. And we know that Israel was making biologically targeted biologic weapons. There was an article in the 1998 Sunday Times, and it was done when Jewish whistleblowers investigated, and other Gentiles and Jews wrote the major story in the major British paper, and they explained that Israel's manufacturing these biological weapons, a great threat to mankind. And it's easy. You could easily target Europeans just by genetic markers, where Jews would be spared and Europeans would be struck down, or Palestinians would be struck down and Jews would be spared. It's not hard to do. It's very, very easy compared to making atomic bombs, child's play. And this is the kind of stuff that goes on. So as far as these treaties are concerned, what we should be doing is talking about the Jewish hegemony and the Jewish dictatorship that exists over the world, like the Jewish dictatorship over America, like Chuckie Schumer boy. You know, the Jewish committees, for instance, that impeached Donald Trump. Think about that for a second. The violation of American law every day, because by law in the American Congress passed laws that any country that's developing nuclear weapons without joining the NPT, or any country that's committing international crimes against international law, that we cannot give them any aid, any military or any money or any support. Yet this law is violated every day by the United States government, and including the law that was just sent, that those billions of dollars, because according to other legislation that already are law in the United States, we can't send any money to any state that's developing nuclear weapons, or that's breaking international law. Israel is committed genocide right now. It is murdering people. It's murdering people by the tens of thousands, including children. So these are the issues I think that we should focus on and concentrate on. Here's the situation. If you want to solve the problem about the tyranny of the globalists, just understand that globalism is in the service of global Jewish hegemony, Jewish power, Jewish racist supremacy. And the only way we can save ourselves from that is by exposing Jewish racist supremacy and power in media and government and finance and politics. Expose that, fight against it, and overthrow it. And that's what I do believe that we should be focusing our attention rather than one more treaty or one more supposed treaty that's come about. It's certainly true that we should stand up for truth. Is what we've really got to talk about is who is ruling this world and who is leading us to genocide in this world, who's really leading us that we have as human beings and the most and here near to me, and I believe probably to you. So there you go. I'm not hearing you, Dave.
Oh, sorry. I said thanks to Alan, and we'll get him back in for another one. Okay, let's bring in our good...
Freezing again, Dave.
Old. He's not old. Oh, yeah. Can you see Henry there?
I hear you now. I see Henry's screen. Hey, Henry, he's shirtless.
Yes, I'm shirtless. Should I put a shirt on?
All right. He's trying to get all the women to join our cause.
They're already here, I think. Oh, for you.
Good. No, I don't think so. I'm an old guy. You're a young, healthy man. So.
Yeah, but women were not supposed to care about that. They look
and why not?
I heard.
I tell you something. I'm of a different opinion. I like the Greek ideal of body, mind, and spirit. And yes, the most important thing is your spirit, and it's what you do. But I believe in the ideal that we were made as these beautiful higher forms of life by God. And I believe that there's nothing wrong with elevating both physical beauty, spiritual beauty, mental abilities as well, and supporting. Well, you put the shirt on, but you looked fine before. But I do believe that these are things that we have natural inclination for, or we have natural deference for, and I think that we actually have a cult today of this Hollywood of ugliness, and they promote these ideas of beauty today that aren't even beautiful; they're ugly, and they're even supporting obesity and ill health, and obesity is something that really hurts. Not just the body, but it hurts the brain, because obesity leads to what's called dementia. It leads to things called Alzheimer's disease, which they call type 3 diabetes. It leads to lessening mental power as we get older. It leads to slovenliness. It leads to all.
I think Henry's going to rob something tonight. Look at Henry. He's dressed as a cat burglar.
Wow! Henry,
you got a question, buddy?
It sounds like one of those pink. It looks like one of those Pink Panther movies, right?
I haven't seen that, so I don't get the reference.
Never seen Pink Panther. That's some pretty funny movies of the 1970s.
It's an old movie, right?
Old movie, yeah.
Yeah,
you can tell my age by the fact that I know that. Pretty funny movie. The original Pink Panther.
I haven't seen your movie. I can't watch Hollywood movies. They're too boring.
Well, I understand.
Real life is much more interesting.
I'm glad you're. I'm glad you think our show is more interesting. You're definitely listening to the show tonight.
Like Observing Shoes is way more interesting, I think.
Yeah, we had a good discussion tonight so far.
Yeah, I've been listening. It's good as always. I was thinking maybe it's a good thing that the Jews are doing, because Maybe it's natural selection, so it's in the end, it's going to make us stronger. What do you think?
Well, I would like to think that. I mean, I'd like to think positive. However, the selection process is really going on right now, and the selection process doesn't seem to be working in our favor. We have massive immigration of non-Europeans into white countries, which seems to be the most intelligent people are the fewest children these days. We have massive numbers of children in our own, among our own people, that are more the dregs than the elite, more in terms of their abilities. So I would argue that it's a dysgenic nightmare, what we're facing, more than something that's going to make us stronger. Now, in another sense, the fact is that it also, in one sense, it does cull out some of the more weaker-minded people in our race, and they are lost to the gene pool. But maybe in some cases, that's a good riddance. Whereas people that are more naturally healthy are more likely to find a good mate and reproduce. But at the same time, many of them, because of the conditions of the feminism, end up marrying non-white people anyway. And
they're weak. Ultimately, I think that's part of the natural selection process, that we get weeded out or mixed.
But Henry, maybe it's a numbers game too. You know, it's like just look at China. China is 1.3 or 1.4 billion people. Now, I think the Chinese average IQ is pretty high. They may not have the IQ range that Europeans have. We seem to have more geniuses.
Well, they're more creative because
Let me finish my point.
And I'm sorry.
So, you know, they might have, you know, maybe less on the highest end of intelligence and maybe more lower intelligence, but still a larger or a higher average IQ, which makes a very stable society. But the point is, because there's so many Chinese, even if the percentage of them are in the highest IQ range, they're probably going to have more higher IQ people than we are. So they're going to win that race, especially if they're able, that IQ race or that genetic race, in the sense that if they make sure that they are put into higher education and scientific fields and given positions of influence in society, that's going to be an advantage to them over us. So the numbers, I'm almost finished the point. So the numbers, I'm afraid, are working against us because but it's such a tiny number.
You're breaking up.
In terms of the immigration issues and the other issues that we're facing. That's my question with it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have hope. We should. But it does mean that we've got to start to get control over our countries. If we don't, we have no chance. We've got to really work hard.
Yeah, but let's say the Earth is endangered by approaching comet, and the only people who can solve this this issue is white people. But if you get rid of us, everybody's going to die. So eventually, the numbers don't matter. Quality matters.
Well, the numbers might not matter, but if everybody on Earth dies, we all die, including white people, and we lose an awful lot of brilliant people.
Yeah,
we lose a lot of Chinese.
If we were still in power, we would deal with the situation because we're intelligent enough.
Not really. If we had a comet that really hit us square on, or any sort of a cataclysmic large size asteroid.
What's the Hollywood movie called?
But there's a lot of Armageddon. These Armageddon movies. You know, yeah. Whatever. I mean, there are certainly, and it's not outside the realm of possibility at all. It's maybe a slight chance, but there's still a chance. We could have a lot of life-ending scenarios. We had it before in the history of the world.
An example.
Well, for instance, in the Pleistocene, you had some sort of a...
The point was numbers don't matter, quality matters.
Like it made the dinosaurs die out. In the course of it, it actually paved the way in some ways for mammals and people because the dinosaurs were kind of ruling the earth, and they were cold-blooded creatures. So when the atmosphere changed and the climate changed in the earth, it meant these smaller animals, these mammals, who were warm-blooded and could keep warm by burrowing into the earth.
All right, let's get to the next caller.
So those are interesting questions. I don't know if
Henry, we'll bring you back, buddy.
For this show,
thank you very much.
You're welcome to ask those questions.
All right, Henry, keep your shirt off, okay, buddy? Keep your shirt off.
And by the way, I'd say this to everybody: y'all keep your shirts on too. And let's get this battle won. Keep your shirt on, folks. In a sense, let's get things done. It's no time to relax yet. And keep warm. Don't get cold in your Estonian icebox. You're going to go cold dip or something tomorrow morning? You're going to go jump in the Baltic? Do you do that?
I used to do it 10 years ago, but I'm a vegan now, so I'm afraid of cold.
You're vegan?
I used to be an animal when I ate animals, but now I'm just a regular person.
Okay. Whatever floats your boat, buddy. As long as you're a fighter for our people, that's really important.
Dave Gahari left.
Dave, are you there?
Nope, he's not here.
Well, what else? What other things would you like to ask about since you've got me? Go on for a while until Dave comes back, if he does come back.
I had some other questions.
Sure, go ahead. Anything.
I was thinking if I can remember. No.
Now, aren't you basically?
I'm on the spot. I can't think right now. But
well, let me ask you some questions.
I can't answer them.
You can't. We got to bring other callers in.
Yeah, yeah.
Take care. There you go.
All right.
We were trying for you being gone there. Dave.
I know. Okay, Richard, you got the floor, buddy.
King Richard.
Yes. Richard, you had another question you were talking about in the chat?
Richard.
All right, we're going to get him back.
Tonight, that's for sure.
We'll get him back.
I'm here.
Ah, there he is.
Yeah, sorry about that. I guess my question that I rephrased is, how long can America afford to pay? And I suppose by America, I mean by extension, the Western governments. Like, is it unlimited? Is it truly... they can just print more money, and this can go on forever.
Well, it's not completely
history
limited,
suggests
but,
that doesn't work out. But I'm keen to hear your answer, Dr.
Your answer is they can do $60 billion and $60 billion and $60 billion and another $60 billion, and nobody would blink an eye, and the taxpayer would end up paying for it all because you'd be paying in less value in the dollar. But they can print as many dollars as they want. And they do print those dollars. They don't even have to print them. They just make them digitally. So, they know that by controlling the Federal Reserve and controlling the currency, they can print whatever they want, send it to whoever they want. They can send $26 billion to Israel. They can send $60 billion to Ukraine. They can spend $8, $10 billion to Taiwan. And by the way, the same United States of America recognizes that Taiwan is part of China. They speak the same language. They're the same Han people of China. It was a rebellious general that took the army over to Taiwan. And even the whole world recognizes that Taiwan's part of China. So what in the hell gives the United States the right to send weaponry to Taiwan? I mean, it'd be the same thing as if China, imagine, you think this Jewish government of ours would accept sending weapons to Texas if Texas wanted to rebel from the United States tomorrow or separate from us, or weapons that they could point missiles at us, or tanks at us, or fighters at us? I don't think so. Again, everything is a hypocrisy. And by the way, this Governor Abbott of Texas is such a craphead. I mean, this guy is limiting free speech. He's arresting students who are demonstrating against this genocide in Gaza. And they always say he's a free speech person, but then he goes and he makes a law in Texas that if you want to teach or you want to have a contract with the state, you've got to send an allegiance to a foreign country. I mean, you can actually try to boycott another state, no problem. You could boycott any country in the world you want to boycott. You could boycott any company you want to boycott overseas. But for some reason, you have to have allegiance to Israel, a foreign country. By the way, Israel is a country that committed terrorism against the United States. Now, it's not just me saying that. It's admitted by the Israeli government. They attacked the USS Liberty. They attacked, in the Levant affair, American installations in Egypt. They were the most damaging spy in American history. And they also led us into these insane wars, which were treasonous, not for American interest because of weapons of mass destruction by Iraq or anything else. And they even supported the rise of Al-Qaeda. They supported the rise of ISIS in Syria. And instead of Syria being our ally, which they should have been, they made them our enemy. That hurt us. That came back and bit us in the ass. Look what happened with the massacres in the United States, the massacres in Great Britain, massacres in France and Germany at the Christmas markets, the destruction of ISIS. Yet our government, through Saudi Arabia, supported the rise of ISIS. Our government in the so-called Joint Committee on 9/11 redacted 28 pages that showed the actions of the Saudi Arabian intelligence in doing 9/11. And this was taken away so the American people couldn't see it. I mean, why? And these were Jews, because they didn't want that, because it was Jews that made these arrangements to support the rise of ISIS. I can show you Jewish newspapers in Israel supporting ISIS. Yet didn't our government and didn't George Bush and all those people since him, didn't they all say that either with us or against us, that anybody who supported ISIS, the terrorism of ISIS or Al-Qaeda that did 9/11, that they're enemies of America and we would treat them as enemies and we'd prosecute them? Well, Israel supported ISIS. Israel supported Al-Qaeda in Syria. This is all fact, but it's just those inconvenient facts that we're not supposed to know about because we live under a Jewish dictatorship in this country.
Yes. I mean, the only thing that I can see as a positive silver lining in all of this, Dr. Duke, is that although you're undoubtedly correct that it could be 26 billion, it could be 26 trillion amount of aid that America gives to Israel over the coming decades, centuries. But the thing that could change that isn't to do with dollars and dimes is American opinion and the vocalization of that. Like when Americans become conscious that actually, they don't want to send this money over there. They'd rather have money for themselves, so they're not reliant on food banks. This is something which is a slow process, perhaps, but something that seems to be happening more and more as you see every day. Like people are calling them out.
There definitely is an awakening going on. You're right.
That is a shift which I think can get vocalization.
It's a great sign, and it's a great thing to realize.
And I called it.
Well, you sure did, Dave.
TJ.
In 2022. I kept telling you guys, it's happening, and nobody saw it.
I think I saw it with you, but that's okay.
Everyone was saying, nah, the Jews are too powerful. I said, it's happening. All right, Richard, we'll get you back in, buddy.
Thank you very much, Dave. Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rich.
All right, we got your buddy Vinny, your cousin Vinny.
Mike, I like that movie a lot. That was one of my favorite movies.
Hello, David and David. Hey, David, I really liked your show you did on the Joint Rents and RBN show you did with Jeremy from Kentucky and Patrick Slattery. You guys brought up a lot of really good points, and it gave me an idea that I hope is relevant to fast approaching Mother's Day and Father's Day. The topic came up about voting public opinion on the war in Ukraine and the Gaza genocide, and the I don't know, it was either Jeremy or Patrick made the point that the most important factor on your political opinion is not your age, it's where you're getting your media information. And the young people who are getting their media information from the latest generation of social media apps like X, Twitter, and TikTok, you know, they're seeing atrocity videos posted by Israelis, and they're being outraged by it, you know. And the people who are still listening to AM, FM talk radio and Fox News, you know, cable news, those people are the most likely to support the, you know, the government line. And, you know, my idea is, you know, I'm thinking about my dad if he was still alive. You know, he was a huge Judge Napolitano fan. And if I had him on YouTube watching Judge Napolitano instead of watching regular old Fox News, he'd be calling his congressman and senator yelling and screaming about what's going on. And, you know, a lot of our older people, they're still, you know, they're driving older cars that still have AM, FM radios. They don't have Bluetooth in their car where they can stream their cell phone. They're still, they don't have, you know, they got flat screen TVs, but they're not intelligent TVs where you can get onto YouTube and watch it on your TV. So, you know, I mean, Judge Napolitano, he's in his 70s, Ray McGovern's 85, Douglas McGregor and Phil Girardi, they're in their 70s. I mean, almost all of his guests are baby boomers and older. And, you know, he's doing a fantastic job covering this. And, you know, if we could get people to say, what are you going to get mom and dad for Mother's and Father's Day? Get them off AM, FM radio, and get them off of Fox News, and get them onto the internet. Get them a phone that can
access this media. Even if they just get a YouTube premium channel where they can actually download the videos.
YouTube's free. You can just get a Blu-ray player at the hardware anywhere.
Yeah, you can do it for free too. But I'm just saying, just make it as easy as you can for them. I like to use YouTube.
You can get it ad-free. Get them a subscription.
I can download the videos right to my phone and then play them on my shows easy, and also record it and not have to use your memory or your number of minutes you have available or your amount of bandwidth you have available for your phone. But, I mean, there's all sorts of different things you can do. But yes, and also teach them, spend some time with them till it's real simple for them, and help them automate it so they can easily do this. They can turn on Judge Napolitano. Yes, I hope you do that for your Father's Day, for that father or that mother or that person in your family. And I urge you to do that. So can we count on you doing that for your parents?
I've installed Bluetooth radios in my own cars, and I've installed it for friends' cars. It's not that hard to do. Once you've done it once, you can get the kits. I mean, and, you know, get rid of that old AM, FM radio. It's not hard. And you can put in a backup camera and GPS, all that stuff.
And automobiles that are 4 or 5 years old. Like, I've got a 10-year-old Mercedes, but that car, I've got to connect up. I got a Bluetooth connector, and so I can play my YouTubes, or I can play Rumble. I can play anything through my phone right to my radio, and real good. Boy, that Mercedes has a real good speaker system, and man, it's like being in a concert hall.
Yeah, my cars are 20 and 26 years old. I keep them up, and I use them for work. But yeah, I mean, it can be done. I mean, and you know, like I said, the biggest factor is where people are getting your media. You get away from Jew media. My cell phone broke, and I had to listen to AM, FM talk radio for an afternoon, and I felt like I was time warped to like 2004, and I was listening to Sean Hannity. I mean, it was just horrible.
Oh, I can't stand Sean Hannity.
Yeah, all right, thank you, my friend.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Vinny. We'll get you back in, buddy.
With Donald Trump, too. I'm really sick of his pandering for Israel. I just can't stand it anymore.
I know. Marcus, where are you calling from, buddy?
Hello, this is Marcus in Colorado.
Okay, hey, Marcus, go ahead, Marcus.
How are you? Good, sir. Dr. Duke, big fan of you. Own your Jewish supremacy, listen to your radio show, listen to you on Rents. God bless you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. We've been having a pretty good show in recent days, haven't we? We had some great shows last week. and sure. We can, people can catch that up at davidduke.com or simply go to Rents at HR, which is human rights for human rights, letter H, letter R, and then radio, radio.net. And you can find my old shows. And, well, we had some great shows this last week, and we have a lot of just, you know, thunderbolt shows that just kind of really break through the fog of war, so to speak, and the fog of the dissemblance and disinformation of the Jewish media, and just kind of just lay it out so clear and so powerfully that we have a lot of people who are getting brand new awakenings in this thing. And we're finding more and more people that are starting to grasp the fundamentals of what we're talking about, what we've been talking about tonight, in fact.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and my question for you is, I was adopted from a South American country and raised by whites, and am an ally of this white movement, don't believe in race mixing.
Well, welcome.
And I'm just curious, what place do we have in the movement?
Listen,
because Latinos are very proud of their race, and, you know, we have some deep culture as well.
Well, you know, we have in Europe, we have Anglo-Saxons, we have Spaniards, we have people from other countries, some of mixed race. There's not, we can't change the fact that there are people in this country of different races, and we certainly have got to be allied with those like yourself that identify with and side with our people in terms of our struggle for existence, because obviously you're a lot more like us than you would be in favor of the Jewish supremacists or even the those people who follow the Jewish supremacists in their horrific hatred of white people. And who, and there are a lot of it, Hispanics and other people who are mixed race, but they really take the side of European mankind and the side of just humanity in general against the Jewish extremists. So, we need every ally we can get. We should treat people respectfully, no matter what race they are. And we, you know, there's nothing wrong with us trying to maintain our borders and our values, but we also have to deal with reality, and we have to work with what we have. And I'm very, very happy to accept you and to work with you as a brother in the same fight for Western Christian civilization. And we appreciate the fact that you're dedicated to these things. We don't need purity tests at this particular moment in our lives. What we need is people who are dedicated against the ultimate threat to mankind, who are Jewish supremacists. And we know that the Jewish supremacists are trying to destroy European mankind and trying to rule over all mankind. So we have a great task ahead of us, not only for the European people, but for all people. And we need to be friends with all people in the world, wherever they're from on planet Earth, and be cordial with them and be allied with them against the real threat to humanity. That's my opinion.
Thank you. And I have another question for you on a different topic.
Sure.
I've been doing a lot of research on the Third Reich, National Socialist Germany, reading Mein Kampf currently, have other writings of Hitler and some of the revisionists too. What is, after all of your research and experience, what is your sort of conclusion on the Third Reich, National Socialist Germany, and the so-called Holocaust?
Well, it's one of those questions that's fraught with danger, because that's like the litmus test that they do for people who are bad people. Anybody that would say anything that has a different interpretation of the Second World War or National Socialism or the history of National Socialism or different aspects of the war. And, I don't consider myself a National Socialist, certainly not a Nazi. If Nazis are really defined by what Hollywood says Nazis are. But I certainly recognize the fact that I don't think Germany was the driving force behind the war. I think it was international Jewry that created that war. I think it was a devastating war. not only it hurt Germany, but also hurt all of Europe and hurt Russia and hurt everyone. And that's one of the reasons why we're in the situation we're in today. So I do believe that war could have been avoided. And I saw Robert Kennedy on television the other day, and he was talking about the only war he'd been for is the Second World War. And I thought to myself, I wish I would have been on that program with him, and I would ask him the question. I would have said to him, I said, well, okay, the war was started over the city of Danzig, which was German territory before the war. They voted in plebiscite to be with their own country. They were German speakers, in a city of 1 million people. The country was divided where they couldn't even cross by over land, uniting the two parts of Germany, both East Prussia and Middle Germany. And Hitler didn't want war. A war broke out because of some of the programs and so forth against the Germans. But Hitler didn't think there was going to be a war. He didn't want a war. He did his best to offer peace, and he said he would go back to the 1940s. He would withdraw all troops out of Poland. I mean, this is immediately. And in the fighting, in the bloodshed, hopefully negotiate so the Russians would also leave the eastern part of Poland. And they're the ones that killed not the Russians, but the Soviets, the Jews. They killed 22,000 probably Polish army officers. And Hitler, you know, tried to make peace and tried to make a negotiation and end this war. Now, so I would have asked Robert Kennedy, I would have said, okay, in retrospect, how could you support the Second World War when, if you know that by this war continuing and not going to a diplomatic conclusion, that we would have saved the lives of conservatively 65, maybe 80 million people, not counting lives destroyed, more than that, and beautiful treasures of art and literature and music and architecture and families injured and parents injured and children, their children injured. Was that war really worth those millions of people when it could have been solved by a diplomacy, allowing the people, the German people of Danzig and the Polish corridor to have self-determination in what was their own country? And the whole idea of German guilt for the First World War is a big lie anyway. All of the countries of Europe were guilty of getting involved in that war. So the war itself was the greatest crime and the greatest slaughter of humanity. Hitler tried to make peace. The British and the French ignored all the peace proposals. They wouldn't even talk to the Germans. They wouldn't go to the, you know, to any sort of peace proposal. They wanted to continue on the war, which ultimately cost, again, at a minimum, around 70 million, if not more, lives, men, women, and children. I mean, anybody that's got a heart, anybody that's got a mind, has got to understand that that was the greatest crime, was the war. And are the Germans responsible for that? It was France and Britain that declared war on Germany, which really made it a world war. It wasn't Germany that ruled the war. It was a war between, it was like a border skirmish between Germany and Poland and then Russia and Poland. By the way, they didn't declare war on the Soviet Union, even though they came in from the east, and the Soviet Union already killed 20, 30 million people. I mean, everything is just turned upside down in this world. So I think that the only way we can judge anything about the National Socialists is by getting both sides and having an open discussion of these things, including the Holocaust. I'm not saying that terrible crimes didn't happen against Jews, but what I'm saying is the only way we can know the truth about any subject is allowing freedom of speech, thought, inquiry, and academic investigation to all of these questions. And I think that Finkelstein is right in talking about the Holocaust industry. There was a lot of fraud involved in the whole Holocaust story.
Yes.
And there's a certain amount of truth that should be separated from the fiction.
He's essential reading.
Yeah.
It's true. All right. Thank you, Dr. Duke. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Marcus. Dave, tell the listeners. You mentioned it earlier, but let them know where they can hear your shows and where they can send you some shekels to keep you going.
Yeah, I need some shekels.
Because you're banned from all the outlets that would allow you to earn money, because the Jew will not leave you alone.
To financially strangle my work and
exactly
press it, and I, you know, we've got to pay for our airtime on that,
of course,
obviously. So we need your support. I'm at box 188, Mandeville, Mandeville. It's a French name, Mandeville. It's one word, Mandeville, like hounds of the Baskervilles, hounds of the Mandevilles, whatever. And it's Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. And if you'd like to send a contribution, I'll be happy to send you a copy of Jewish Supremacism. I'd be happy to, and you could give us a gift of any amount, and your support would be very much appreciated. You can also go to my Gab at Real David Duke. You can go to my Odyssey. We have about 100 videos there. They're classics. I think you'll really enjoy them. They're timeless. And you can find that through Odyssey, my Odyssey account at Real David Duke, as well as my Gab at Real David Duke. And you can also go to davidduke.com. It's a tremendous resource with thousands of articles that are well-researched on all these subjects. So you can learn about the ultimate racial supremacism, and that's what we call Judaism and Zionism, and the ultimate genocidal entity of this planet. And it's a genocide that's been conducted of massive wars between Europeans, and massive wars has been conducted by these globalists who control American policy since the Second World War. And the death toll has been horrific. And what's happening to Palestine?
There it is, Dave. There's the music. Thank you, Dave. We're going to do a quick after show.
Not tonight. I'll say goodnight to
a couple minutes.
Okay, couple 2 minutes. But you got to make sure.
Oh God!
I need to get.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Don't forget to tune in next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, where David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke will take your phone calls and discuss whatever questions you want to bring to the table. See you next Sunday.